This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati amalina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Amma ba'd, fa inna khayral hadith kitabullah wa khayral hadi hadi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثات بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل دلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Listeners, I'm just sorry about the slight delay that we had in going live. I'm facing a little network issues, connectivity issues here, but I hope to, inshallah, complete this session without any issues. Very short time that I'm going to take of yours in this live video, where I wish to discuss with you about some of the consequences of engaging in riba. The previous live videos that we've had, we've explained what riba is. In today's video, we're discussing about some of the consequences of engaging in riba in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. Now, we know that from the Islamic perspective, riba is considered a major sin, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has condemned it in several ahadith. But much before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it abundantly clear in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, that anyone who does not give up his wants of riba, they must prepare to engage in a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we need to understand, what does the statement preparing yourself for a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mean? What shall be the outcome of a war which is waged by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Some of the outcomes of these wars which we experience amongst people around us who engage in riba is, we see these are people who suffer from insomnia. They suffer from sleepless nights. They're awake the whole night. They're stressed. They're tensed. They're worried because they are under huge debt. They don't know where they're going to run to. If they lose their job, they have no way to pay off their riba-based loans. And so people who take riba-based loans or who engage in riba, we often find such people are suffering from insomnia. Such people suffer from stress. They suffer from depression, anxiety. Let us talk about some of the incidents which has happened around us so we can relate to it. A very famous airlines in India by the name of Kingfisher, which is now shut down. When it shut down, some of its staff committed suicide. What was the reason behind that? One of the reasons behind that was not because the company shut down so they committed suicide, but because they were not getting their remuneration to repay off the loans that they had taken from conventional banks. Whereas we know that the Islamic ruling is that in case a person is a debtor and he's finding it difficult to pay off his loan, go easy on them, said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. And if possible, waive it off. So you see the barakah and the blessings that is there when we deal in qardul hasana or an interest-free loan. That not only you don't have to pay an interest, but if a situation dawns upon you where you're not able to pay your debt, the principal amount, that's the only thing which you need to repay, the company is expected to rise above in the situation and give you some more time. And there is no charge for the deferred time which you take in order to repay your loan. Further, we understand about the worst effects that will be there in the hereafter. But we're going to come back to that later. Let us go to the hadith where Rasulullah s.a.w. said, and this is narrated by Jabir ibn Abdullah, and this mentioned Sahih Muslim, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam cursed the person who accepts riba. He cursed the one who gives riba, and he cursed the one who records it and the two witnesses to a riba-based transaction. You see, the hadith over here has spoken about the different parties involved in a riba-based contract. Everyone has been included in this list with no exception. We as Muslims must be extremely careful about our source of wealth, about our source of income, and we must continuously strive to move out from any riba-based earning and move to something which is acceptable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that riba is not acceptable in the sight of Allah. And the riba that Allah speaks of in the Quran is the same interest which you get when you walk into a conventional bank. It is not different. Some of the smart people will come and tell you that, you know what, riba is different, interest is different, riba is talking about usury, Allah has condemned usury, this is interest, this is business. But you see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the makeup of His creation, and that is why He said in the Quran that we have permitted bay, trading, but we have forbidden riba. If you want to trade, go ahead and trade, exchange goods, engage in production. That is good for the society. It's good for employment. It's good for exchanging of wealth. It makes the society come up. But what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I beg your pardon, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid was the dealing in the riba that people are talking of and saying that, well, this is interest and not usury. Everything is included in it. There is no exception. And this hadith very clearly listing that not only the one who's taking riba, but the one who's giving riba, the one who is signing the contract, the one who are the witnesses to the contract, the one who's jotting down the contract. You work in the legal department, you see, in an institution which engages in riba. Your job is just to make a contract. I'm not taking riba, nor am I giving. It's the bank which gives. I just write down the contract for them. Even you're going to be questioned on the day of judgment. We need to seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from riba of all sorts. Lastly, we discuss about the state that will be there of these people who engage in riba during the day of judgment. The ayah of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these will be people who would be akin to a person who's suffering from mental imbalance due to the touch of the shaitan. This is the kind of condemnation we find in the Quran. And we also know another ayah of the Quran where Allah says that these are the people who have waged a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are far-reaching consequences in our individual life in this dunya as well as in akhirah if we don't give up our wants of riba. Further, what shall be the effect on the society? We see that the current interest-based loan systems that is there, it leads to a widening of gulf between the rich and the poor. This is a problem. There is a widening of gulf between the rich and the poor. The rich gets richer, the poor gets poorer. This is what a conventional base loan does, because it charges a heavy interest on the one who borrows, whereas it pays out more money to those who park their money as deposits. So the one who parked their money with deposits gets richer, and the one who has no money has to pay a higher amount back, which makes him poorer. And then we know there is an encouragement of wasteful extravagance. It dissuades the investors from investing in domestic beneficial products. It deprives wealth of all blessings, and it leads to economic crisis. Have we not had enough financial crisis around us? Have we not seen the 2008 financial crisis, the far-reaching effects of which can be felt even today in the society? We can see the consequences of the US subprime crisis, where nations have gone bankrupt, nations have become poor, nations have sought help from other nations to come out and bail them. Why? Because of the interest-bearing securities. Nothing justifies that. We need to condemn it completely from our life. We need to start from our life. Instead of thinking of the society, that is there. But you need to start with our own life. Let ourselves start staying away from any form and every form of riba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to stay away from riba and any of its similar look-alikes. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, that we just don't stay away from riba, we also stay away from riba. Anything which has a doubt in financial transaction. So this was the wisdom of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the second caliph of Islam, that he said, don't just stay away from riba, but stay away from riba, that which has doubt in financial transactions. With that, we conclude the discussion. Barakallahu feekum for taking out your time and attending this live session. If you have any questions, you can just post it on Facebook. I can see some of you have been writing views there. So inshallah, I will get back to you once I'm done with the session. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.